Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections in the city, the state, and the nation. This is your election guru, Mark Braun here. Glad you could join us today. And I remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of those who are blind or print impaired. Materials or items read in Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Right on. So, it's a statewide stuff today, and we're going to start off first with, you guessed it, an obituary. From the Nation section of the Los Angeles Times for Tuesday, May 27, 2025. Charles Rangel, 1930 to 2025, former congressman from New York, was a trailblazer. Harlem Democrat was the first black chair of the Powerful Ways and Means Committee by Deputy Hajela and Sadar Atanasio. New York. Former U.S. Rep. Charles Rangel of New York, an outspoken, gravel-voiced Harlem Democrat, who spent nearly five decades on Capitol Hill and was a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus, died Monday at age 94. His family confirmed the death in a statement provided by City College of New York spokesperson Michelle Stent. He died at a hospital in New York, Stent said. A veteran of the Korean War, Rangel defeated legendary Harlem politician Adam Clayton Powell in 1970 to start his congressional career. During the next 40-plus years, he became a legend himself, a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus, dean of the New York Congressional Delegation, and in 2007, the first African-American to chair the powerful Ways and Means Committee. He stepped down from that committee amid an ethics cloud, and the House censored him in 2010, but he continued to serve in Congress until his retirement in 2017. Rangel was the last surviving member of the Gang of Four, African-American political figures who wielded great power in New York City and state politics. The others were David Dinkins, New York City's first black mayor, Percy Sutton, who was Manhattan's borough's president, and Basil Paterson, a deputy mayor and New York's Secretary of State. Few could forget Rangel after hearing him talk. His distinctive gravel-toned voice and wry sense of humor were a memorable mix. That voice, one of the most liberal in the House, was loudest in opposition to the Iraq War, which he branded a death tax on poor people and minorities. In 2004, he tried to end the war by offering a bill to restart the military service draft. Republicans called his bluff and brought the bill to a vote. Even Rangel voted against it. A year later, Rangel's fight over the war became bitterly personal with then-Vice President Dick Cheney. Rangel said Cheney, who has a history of heart trouble, might be too sick to perform his job. I would like to believe he's sick rather than just mean and evil, Rangel said. After several such verbal jabs, Cheney hit back, saying Rangel was losing it. The charismatic Harlem lawmaker rarely backed down from a fight after he entered the House in 1971 as a dragon slayer of sorts, having unseated Powell in the Democratic congressional primary in 1970. The flamboyant Powell, a famed political figure in the city first elected to the House in 1944, was ill and haunted by scandal at the time. Rangel became a leader of the main tax-writing committee of the House, which has jurisdiction over programs including Social Security and Medicare, after the 2006 midterm elections when Democrats ended 12 years of Republican control of the House. But in 2010, a House Ethics Committee conducted a hearing on 13 counts of alleged financial and fundraising misconduct over issues surrounding its financial disclosures and use of congressional resources. He was convicted of 11 ethics violations. The House found he had failed to pay taxes on a vacation villa, filed misleading financial disclosure forms, and improperly solicited donations for a college center from corporations with business before his committee. The House followed the Ethics Committee's recommendation that he be censored, the most serious punishment short of expulsion. Rangel looked after his constituents, sponsoring empowerment zones with tax credits for businesses moving into the economically depressed areas and developers of low-income housing. I have always been committed to fighting for the little guy, Rangel said in 2012. Rangel was born June 11, 1930. During the Korean War, he earned a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. That was Charles Rangel, 1930 to 2025, former congressman from New York, was trailblazer, by Deepti Hajela and Sarah Atanasio. From the Nation section of the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, May 27, 2025. Hajela and Atanasio write for the Associated Press. Moving on to California, and now we have poll numbers. This is for, first one is from the Los Angeles Times for Thursday, May 8, 2025. Californians report feeling less hopeful about their personal economic well-being. More than half of California voters reported feeling less hopeful when asked to think back over the past year. In August 2024, 44% of voters answered more hopeful, by Sean Green. Total registered voters. Late April 2024, 54% said less hopeful, 21% neither more nor less hopeful, 25% said more hopeful, compared to August 2024, 44% less hopeful, 22% neither more nor less hopeful, and 32% said more hopeful. Among Democrats, in August of 2024, 28% said less hopeful, 24% said neither or more nor less hopeful, while 46% said more hopeful. As of late April of 2025, 69% said less hopeful, 22% neither more nor less hopeful, and not much of a percentage for those who said more hopeful. Among Republicans, in August of 2024, 75% said less hopeful, while 15% said neither more nor less hopeful, not a big percentage to give a percentage point for more hopeful. And as of late April 2025, 25% said less hopeful, 18% said neither more nor less hopeful, 57% said more hopeful. And those with no party preference or others, in August of 2024, 42% said less hopeful, 25% neither more nor less hopeful, 31% said more hopeful. And as of late April 2025, 56% said less hopeful, 23% said neither more nor less hopeful, while 21% said more hopeful. That was California's report feeling less hopeful about their personal economic well-being by Sean Green from the Los Angeles Times, Thursday, May 8, 2025. UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies poll was conducted on April 21st to the 28th in English and Spanish among 6,201 registered voters in California. Estimated margin of error is plus or minus 2 percentage points. All right, moving on. Here is another poll article with regards to the president's poll approval rating here in California from the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, May 6, 2025. Trump's California ratings stay low. Polls show 68% of registered voters disapprove of his job performance, by Michael Wilner. Washington. President Trump remains deeply unpopular in California after his first 100 days in office, with conservatives and liberals alike expressing concern that U.S. courts can effectively serve as a check on his power, according to a new UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies poll co-sponsored by The Times. Overall, the poll conducted during the last week of April found that 68% of registered voters in California disapprove of the president's job performance and believe the country is on the wrong track. Republicans in California, who make up roughly a quarter of registered voters, continue to support the president's policies. But 65% of registered voters across the state believe that Trump's actions have gone beyond his constitutional authority as president, including 24% of Republicans and 66% of independents, the poll found. Looking forward, voters across party lines said they lack confidence that the U.S. judicial system can serve as a check against Trump should he overstep his constitutional authorities, with only 13% of total registered voters expressing strong confidence in the powers of the courts. Only 51% of voters who identified as strong conservatives and 53% of registered Republicans said they have any confidence in the judiciary's ability to check an overstepping president. And among the Republicans, just 27% said they are very confident, reflecting bipartisan concern over the endurance of the nation's system of checks and balances. Since Trump took office, officials in an administration have launched a series of attacks on district court judges who have ruled against them and have slow-walked, if not explicitly defied, several court orders, including one order from the U.S. Supreme Court regarding the mistaken deportation of a Maryland man to a prison in El Salvador. The poll found that up to this point, 27% of voters believe Trump has operated within his constitutional authorities, and 65% do not. That's an interesting set of numbers, because you would think that the public would be standing behind the judicial system, said Mark DiCamillo, director of the Berkeley IGS poll. Trump is really pushing the limits and testing the system. Among all registered voters, 61% said they believe that Trump's second term will be worse than his first. Only 23% said the changes Trump is making to the federal government will have a positive impact on California. The numbers historically kind of speak for themselves. They're extremely low, greater than 2-1, disapproving of Trump in those first 100 days, DiCamillo said. Those numbers are consistent across demographics, with 68% of white voters, 64% of Latino voters, 79% of black voters, and 71% of Asian American and Pacific Islander voters in the state disapproving of the president's job performance. Trump faced similarly low approval ratings among low approval numbers among California voters throughout his first term, reaching a nadir during the summer of 2020, at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, when 71% of the state's registered voters disapproved of his job performance. At the time, only 29% approved of the president's record. Despite historic disapproval of Trump throughout the state, Californians still look back on President Biden's term with mixed emotions, the poll found. Asked to reflect on Biden's legacy, 31% of registered voters said that he would be remembered as an average president. Only 23% said his performance was above average or among the best of any president, and 43% it was below average, if not one of the worst. It is a stark report card from one of the most heavily Democratic states in the nation, where 63.5% of voters cast ballots for Biden in 2020. In the 2024 election, after Biden dropped out of the race, 58.5% of the state cast votes for his vice president and native Californian, Kamala Harris. The Biden numbers are more negative than positive, DiCamillo said. Even when you look at the Democrats, they're not overwhelmingly of the view that he's done an above-average job. It's a very mediocre set of numbers, he added. It's not a ringing endorsement as they look back on the Biden years. That was Trump's California Ratings Stay Low by Michael Wilner from the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, May 6, 2025. Right here is another poll article from the Los Angeles Times, Friday, May 9, 2025. Most in state support requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Poll finds that 71% back having to show government ID when registering, including 59% of Democrats, by Kevin Rector. While California voters are sharply divided along partisan lines when it comes to election integrity and voter fraud, they broadly support a politically charged proposal from President Trump and other Republicans to require first-time voters to provide government-issued identification proving their citizenship in order to register, according to a new poll. A majority of voters of both parties backed the proof of citizenship requirement for registering, according to the poll from UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, co-sponsored by the Times. Most Californians also supported requiring a government ID every time a voter casts a ballot, though by a slimmer majority, and despite most Democrats opposing the idea. Mark DiCamillo, co-director of the Berkeley IGS poll, said the bipartisan support for first-time voters showing proof of citizenship stood out, as many of the poll's other findings showed a stark political divide and a majority of Californians at odds with Trump and his recent edicts on voting, which California and other states are suing to block. Still, DiCamillo said his biggest takeaway was the sharp distrust in the state's election system that the poll found among California Republicans, which he said should be a serious concern for state election officials, even if a majority trusts the system. Democratic voters in the state are largely confident in the state election system and doubtful of prevalent voter fraud, while many Republican voters feel the opposite, the poll found. It is significant to me that the Republicans in this state are not of that view, and that's something that has to be dealt with, DiCamillo said. In an election system, you want both sides to be on board. Overall, 71% of respondents said they supported new voters having proof of citizenship upon registering, including 59% of Democrats, the poll found. Nearly all Republicans, 95%, backed the proposal, as did 71% of voters registered to other parties or as no party preference. A separate proposal to require voters to show proof of citizenship every time they vote also drew support from a majority of poll respondents, but a much slimmer one, with 54% support. While 88% of Republicans backed that idea, about 60% of Democrats opposed it. Among independents and Californians registered with other parties, 54% supported it. Democratic lawmakers in Sacramento have repeatedly rebuffed proposals for stricter voter ID laws in the state, including in recent weeks when they shot down a voter ID bill from Assemblymember Carl DeMeo, Republican of San Diego. DeMeo has also launched a campaign to place a voter ID and proof of citizenship requirement on the 2026 ballot. DeMeo said the poll showed there is broad public support for his measure, which would require both proof of citizenship upon registering for the first time and a photo ID for a confirming identity each subsequent time voting. And the California Democrats are out of touch with the electorate. Overwhelmingly, voters support this ballot measure, he said. The only people who don't support it? Sacramento politicians. The proposed ballot measure would require mail-in ballots to include the last four digits of the voter's valid government-issued form of identification, along with the current requirement to have the signature of a voter on the ballot verified. The poll was conducted April 21st to the 28th, about a month after Trump issued a March 25th executive order presuming to dictate to the state's slate of new election requirements that Trump said were necessary to restore integrity in U.S. elections, but many experts said were outside the scope of his authority. Trump has alleged for years, without evidence, that the 2020 election was stolen from him and that voter fraud is widespread, including among immigrants who are in the country illegally. Neither of those things is true. Trump's executive order says voters must show a U.S. passport, real ID, or some other government-issued photo identification in order to register to vote. It says states also must limit their counting of ballots to those received by election day, not postmarked by then, as California and some other states currently allow, or risk losing federal funding. The order also directs the Election Assistance Commission, which is an independent bipartisan body outside the president's control, to mandate the proposed restrictions and other Trump-determined requirements for state voting systems and to rescind its certifications of voting equipment in states that don't comply. Parts of Trump's order, including the proof of citizenship requirement, have been blocked in federal court while litigation challenging the order continues. California is one of many states suing, with California Attorney General Rob Bonta calling Trump's order a blatantly illegal power grab and an attempt to disenfranchise voters. In a statement on the poll results, Bonta said it was fortunate that a majority of Californians still have confidence in the state's election system despite Trump spreading lies about voter fraud and other election issues for years. He said state law already contains robust voter ID requirements with strong protections to prevent voter fraud, and that his office is committed to removing barriers to voter registration and to promoting greater participation in the democratic process, in and out of court. Dean C. Logan, registrar, recorder, and county clerk for Los Angeles County, said in a court filing earlier this week that if Trump's order, if left intact, would divert time, resources, and attention from other critical departmental responsibilities and election preparation, including assisting voters displaced by the Palisades and Eaton Canyon fires, upgrading the county's election management system, which serves as the backbone of the voter registration intake and database, and engaging in a side-by-side analysis of all 600-plus vote center locations to ensure they meet accessibility standards. The poll found Californians are largely at odds with Trump's attacks on the integrity of U.S. elections, which is perhaps not surprising in a state where registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans nearly 2-1. Among the respondents who participated in the poll, 6,201 registered voters in the state, more than two-thirds, or 68%, expressed confidence in the overall integrity of the state's election system. The same percentage opposed Trump's recent proposal to prohibit the counting of ballots postmarked but not received by Election Day. Well over half, or 57%, said they believe voter fraud in the state is very or fairly rare, while a similar percentage, 58%, said they were opposed to Trump's proposal for the federal government to take greater control over state elections. On all of those questions, however, Californians were heavily divided along partisan lines. For instance, 61% of Republican voters said they are not very or not at all confident in the integrity of the state's election system, which compared with just 13% of Democrats. And although 74% of Republicans said fraud was somewhat or very prevalent in state elections, just 14% of Democrats felt the same, the poll found. A majority of voters, 58%, opposed the federal government taking more control over elections from the state, despite more than three-quarters of Republicans supporting the move. And although 57% of Republican voters backed Trump's proposal to prohibit the counting of mail ballots postmarked but not received by election officials by Election Day, just 9% of Democrats agreed. Rick Hassan, a voting rights expert at UCLA Law School, said the poll results, including Californians' overall confidence in the state's election system, disbelief in prevailing fraud, and opposition to federal takeover, were in line with other polling and what he'd expect. Most people in most states believe that their own state's election system is run well, and that if there is any kind of problem, it's elsewhere, he said. It was equally unsurprising that Republicans have a much more cynical view of the process, he said. Party supporters tend to follow their elites, and the top of the Republican Party has been making false and unsubstantiated claims about voter fraud for decades now, Hassan said. It's no surprise that it's seeped through to the electorate. Hassan said the results on proof of citizenship also made sense, as voter ID has polled positively, so requiring proof of voter citizenship also tends to poll positively. But he questioned whether poll respondents really understood the implications of such a requirement. Asked whether it would be easy or difficult to present a government-issued photo ID as proof of citizenship when voting in an election, 93% of respondents said it would be easy. But Hassan and others have argued just the opposite, that millions of U.S. citizens would be blocked from voting by the measure because they lack the required documents, which don't include birth certificates, which don't have photos, or many California driver's licenses. I just don't think people recognize that a lot of government-issued photo IDs would not qualify, and they certainly wouldn't qualify under the president's proposed rulings, Hassan said. That was Most in State Support Requiring Proof of Citizenship to Vote by Kevin Rector, from the Los Angeles Times, Friday, May 9, 2025. All right, on to some gubernatorial news from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Saturday, April 12, 2025. Governor candidates bristle as Harris sits on fence. Ex-Vice President's delayed decision on entering race annoys her fellow Democrats, by Seema Mehta. Former Vice President Kamala Harris's lingering decision about whether to run for governor as other Democrats in the 2026 race steamed, saying the state needs leaders to step up now to protect Californians and combat the destructive policies of President Trump. The criticism of Harris's delayed decision, which is expected to come this summer, varies from sharp and direct to oblique and circuitous. The challenges facing California are too great for us to wait for a candidate wants to come in late in the game, said former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who announced his gubernatorial campaign in July. California is not a stepping stone to higher office. He pointed to the unsuccessful abbreviated campaign Harris had in the 2024 presidential contest because of then-President Biden's decision to bow out of the race in the summer, months before the election. This will not be a coronation, he said in an interview this month. You can't run at the end of the bow. We saw a 100-day campaign. Look what that brought us. Former Representative Katie Porter of Irvine and former U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, two other top Democrats running for governor, also called out politicians for sitting on the sidelines. No one should be waiting to lead. I think we need to make a case right now, Porter said in a March interview, shortly after she was asked what Harris's potential entry into the race would mean for her candidacy. There's an incredible urgency on the ground that I think stretches across California and across the political spectrum. Becerra made a similar point as he announced his candidacy in early April. Watching what's unfolding before our eyes made it clear this is not a time to sit on the sidelines, Becerra said in an interview. Polls show that Harris may become the instant frontrunner if she decides to jump into the governor's race. Not only is Harris known nationwide as a former vice president and presidential nominee, but she has a well-established track record of winning statewide races in California. Harris is expected to make a decision by the end of the summer, according to a source close to the former vice president. The source pointed to Harris's experience as San Francisco District Attorney, the state's Attorney General and U.S. Senator before being elected Vice President in 2020. No one could question her commitment to public service and the people of California and our nation, this person said. The Vice President's decision will always center on how best to serve the people. Harris' success in the state, her name recognition, and her national donor base are among the reasons many are expected to are expecting her to easily clear the field if she enters the governor's race. Her looming as a possible gubernatorial candidate has a very definite chilling effect on everyone else's fundraising ability, said veteran Democratic strategist Darius Srago. Virtually all donors use any excuse they can to not write a check. That would be compounded by the fact that the looming uncertain presence here as a is a very significant political player, presumably the most senior political player in the Democratic field. But other California Democratic strategists note that donors' patience could eventually wear thin at a time when the party is brimming with angst about the large checks they wrote in the 2024 election, as well as the policy decisions coming out of the Trump White House. Tracy Austin, a prominent Los Angeles-based Democratic fundraiser who has ties with several candidates in the race, says there is already mounting frustration in the donor community, not only because of how long Harris is taking to make a decision, but also because of the amount of money they spend on her 2024 presidential campaign, as well as broader concerns about the party's direction. Fundraising reports aren't due until July, but candidates are required to report donations over $5,000. Villaraigosa leads the pack, with about $33.2 million from donors such as director Rob Reiner, producer and television personality Ryan Seacrest, and former Walt Disney chief Michael Eisner. Other candidates have entered the race much more recently, and their footprint among donors who write large checks is far smaller. A little more than $215,000 for Republican County Sheriff Chad Bianco, $133,400 for Porter. The candidate's strength among small dollar donors won't be visible for months. Republicans are relishing the prospect of Harris entering the race. Bianco blasted out a fundraising appeal with a message line invoking Harris's name. Now the threat that the Democrat leadership poses to our communities is graver than before, he wrote this month. That's because Kamala Harris is positioning herself to run for governor of California. Today, I'm asking you to help me defeat radical Kamala Harris in the race for California governor. Harris's potential candidacy was frequently raised during the state GOP convention late last month in Sacramento. Personally, I think it's beneath her, but I welcome it, outgoing party chairwoman Jessica Millen Patterson told reporters. I would love to see her on the ballot. Since losing the 2024 election to Trump, Harris has made few public appearances, visiting firefighters and volunteers at the devastating Los Angeles area wildfires, watching Broadway plays in New York City, and accepting an award from the NAACP. Harris has been circumspect during her first few public appearances since losing the 2024 presidential election. On April 3rd, she made some of her most pointed remarks since Trump took office during brief remarks before a gathering of black female business leaders, politicians, and other prominent people. Harris decried the rollback of fundamental rights under the Trump administration and vowed to remain active in the battle to safeguard constitutional protections. I'll see you out there, she vowed. I'm not going anywhere. That was Governor candidates bristle as Harris sits on the fence, by Seema Mehta from the California section of the Los Angeles Times for Saturday, April 12th, 2025. Right, here's another poll article from the California section of the Los Angeles Times for Tuesday, May 13, 2025. Half of voters see Harris favorably, Bass not so much. Both Democrats are almost universally known, California poll says, but that's not always a good thing. By Seema Mehta. California voters have sharply differing views on two of the state's most prominent Democrats, according to a new poll. Former Vice President Kamala Harris, who was expected to decide by the end of the summer whether to run for California governor in 2026, has near universal name recognition among California voters, and 50% view her favorably, according to the survey by UC Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies that was co-sponsored by The Times. In contrast, California voters, notably residents of the city of Los Angeles, are more likely to view Mayor Karen Bass unfavorably. In the aftermath of the devastating fire in Pacific Palisades this year and criticism of the city's response, Bass's approval ratings are dire among Angelenos, who are overwhelmingly Democratic. Voters' unhappiness with the mayor could create difficulties for her re-election campaign next year if the mood persists. When you're underwater and almost universally known, 82% of voters can offer an opinion of Bass in Los Angeles City. One of the hardest things to overcome is accumulating negative image, said Mark DiCamillo, director of the Berkeley IGS poll. Once you develop an unfavorable image, it's hard to overcome. It almost requires another major event she can take credit for or look good in handling. The Democrats are longtime allies. Harris swore Bass in when she was elected mayor of Los Angeles in 2022 after defeating real estate developer Rick Caruso by nearly 10 percentage points. Both women were among the elected officials vetted to be Joe Biden's running mate in the 2020 election. Harris ultimately prevailed and was elected vice president and became the Democratic presidential nominee in 2024 after Biden decided to end his re-election campaign. But California voters have strikingly different thoughts about the veteran elected officials. Perceptions of Bass, a longtime member of Congress and the state legislature, have faltered in the aftermath of the fire, a notable reversal among Californians who were optimistic about her prospects shortly before she won the mayoral election in 2022. In October of that year, 50% of likely voters in Los Angeles had a positive opinion of Bass, while 35% had a negative view, according to a UC Berkeley Times poll conducted at the time. Now, half of the city's voters surveyed perceive her negatively, while 32% have a favorable impression, according to the new poll. In Los Angeles, with the exception of black voters and senior citizens, Bass is viewed more unfavorably than positively among voters of every other age group and men and women. Statewide, 42% of voters do not have a favorable opinion of Bass, who is facing a recall effort that is unlikely to make the ballot. Only 1 in 5, 19%, give her high marks. Harris, despite losing the presidential election to Donald Trump in 2024, is faring better than Bass among California voters as she weighs a gubernatorial bid next year to replace Governor Gavin Newsom, who could not run for the seat again because of term limits. Roughly 96% of California voters now know enough about Harris to have an opinion about her, according to the poll. That's a stratospheric level of name identification in an enormous state where lesser-known candidates must spend tens of millions of dollars in hopes of raising their profile. Voters' views of Harris, a former U.S. senator, state attorney general, and San Francisco district attorney, are split, with 50% having a positive image of the Bay Area native, compared with 46% holding a negative impression, according to the poll. She drew stronger support from voters who tend to cast ballots more frequently in statewide elections, women, younger and older voters, and residents of the Bay Area and Los Angeles County. Voters' views of Harris vary dramatically over the last 15 years. She barely won the state attorney general's race in 2010 and was unknown by a large number of voters, DiCamillo said. By the time Harris ran for the U.S. Senate in 2016, she was viewed favorably by the state's voters, though many did not know enough about her to offer an opinion. As she settled into her job as U.S. Senator, people started to pay more attention to her. Obviously, she was getting a lot of attention while when she was grilling Supreme Court nominees, DeCamillo said, with voters becoming more familiar with Harris and having positive views of her. Those impressions sank during her unsuccessful run for president in 2020, improved in the early days of the Biden administration, then dipped again when she was vice president and assigned intractable issues such as the flow of immigrants fleeing Central America, he said. Her image has improved slightly since then and is strong among Democrats, frequent voters, women, and residents of the Bay Area and Los Angeles County, subgroups that would be crucial sources if support if she decides to run for governor. Harris has kept a relatively low profile since her November loss to the presidential race, but delivered a most full-throated remarks about Trump in late April, blasting his policies as a betrayal of the nation's founding principles, the former vice president warned of a looming constitutional crisis. But fellow Democrats have criticized Harris for not planning on making a decision about whether to run for governor until the end of the summer. Her delayed plans have put the race in limbo and made some deep-pocketed political donors hesitant to write checks. Former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, a Harris supporter in prior elections, is among the Democrats running for governor who have publicly expressed frustration about her delay. Harris's team has a level of arrogance about its lackadaisical approach to leading a state with the fourth largest economy in the world, he said in an interview in Sacramento on May 6. California is not a stepping stone, Villaraigosa said shortly after speaking at a Jewish Public Affairs Committee of California conference. Stop playing footsie, either run for governor or not. The Berkeley IGS poll surveyed 6,201 California registered voters online in English and Spanish, and from April 21st to 28, including 611 voters living in the city of Los Angeles. The results are estimated to have a margin of error of 2 percentage points in either direction in the overall sample, and large numbers for subgroups. Details of the poll results on Harris and Bass will be made public Tuesday. That was half of voters see Harris favorably, Bass not so much, by Seema Mehta, from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, May 13, 2025. We have a little time left. Let's see who's actually running in some of the other statewide races, like for lieutenant governor. The current lieutenant governor is Elaine Konalakis, but she's running for governor. And those that are running as Democrats are Josh Friday, the chief service officer for Governor Gavin Newsom and former mayor of Novato, Janelle Kelman, a Sausalito City Council from 2020 to the present, Fiona Ma, the California state treasurer, and Michael Tubbs, the former mayor of Stockton. Withdrawn is Steve Bradford, a former state senator from the 35th District, who is instead going to run for insurance commissioner. Filed paperwork is Mike Schaefer, a member of the California State Board of Equalization and perennial candidate. A potential candidate is Tony Atkins, a former president pro tempore of the California State Senate from the 39th District and former speaker of the California Assembly from the 78th District, and she's currently running for governor. Among the Republicans is one potential candidate, Gloria Romero, a former Democratic state senator from the 35th District and candidate for superintendent of public instruction in 2010. Withdrawn is David Serpa, a businessman and runner-up for California's 39th Congressional District in 2024. He is actually running for governor. Now, among the race for Secretary of State of California, it's unknown who is running at this time, but what we do know is that Shirley Weber, the current Secretary of State, who was actually elected to a full term in 2022, is in fact eligible to run for a second full term, and she is in fact going to be doing that. So she's the only one that we know for sure at this time. And in the only nonpartisan statewide race for California's Superintendent of Public Instruction, the current incumbent is Tony Thurmond. He is running for governor. And here are some of the candidates that are running for the nonpartisan office. They include Andra Hoffman, Richard Barrera, Nichelle Henderson, L. Maratsushi, Josh Newman, and Sonia Shaw. That's a nonpartisan race. And in the race for California State Attorney General, Rob Bonta is the incumbent, and As far as we know, he is the only one that is running to be for a second full term. So we'll keep you updated with any new candidates in that race and any other candidates for any of the state, any races in the city, the state, and the nation. Until next time, everybody, this is your election guru, Mark Braun. Happy voting and peace.